Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. It's your boy TP Timeless back at the helm, back in the kitchen. Well, basically, not even back in the kitchen. We were outside. The grill is lit. The cookout is back in session. A lot of stuff to jump into. Man, I mean, the sport world is in a frenzy, and I can't wait to start cooking up. I mean, from football to basketball. I mean, even personally for me, for baseball, but I'm going to leave the personal stuff alone. I'm going to just spit what I need to spit or get out there and throw stuff on the grill as need be. Calling in by way of the state of California, Vin Servideo, how are you feeling this evening? Welcome to the cookout.
I feel good. Thank you for asking. It's really considerate and nice. Deal. I have some basketball topics that I want. I heard you just said you wanted to talk about some baseball, maybe football. Basketball is, and the trade deadline is outrageous. It's outrageous what's happening right now. It's so much fun. But yeah, I feel good and I am excited as usual to talk hoops and other stuff with you. If you want, like I told you in the green room, you could throw it over to me and I will ask some questions if whoever's on about the NBA to get a conversation going. I could email you or send you some questions that we could talk about. But I'm sure it's the same kind of things that you know, like Porzingis and the New York Knicks, just because that's where we're from. We're from New York, and that's a hot topic conversation with what the Knicks are doing. Anyway, I'm trying to eat too soon. I know what I'm doing. How are you, Ty?
All I asked was how you were doing. That's all I asked was how you were doing. That's it. And everything is still on the table. I'm okay, man. I wish I'd have been asked this question earlier today, man, but I wasn't. I was being pushed around and being told, well, you need to hurry up and get in Sports City, man. Open up the door to the kitchen, man. Enough is enough. I'm like, wait, just see how I'm doing first. See if I got a headache or fever. I could be throwing up. I could be nauseous. I could be feeling all type of way, allergies. I don't know. And now he's from New York. I'm from Connecticut, people. I'm not from New York. I live around New York. You know what I'm saying? But I'm from Connecticut, man. I don't know where he's from. He might be from New York City or California or – you know, New Mexico, hell, I don't know where he's from, but I know where I'm from, you know what I'm saying? So without any further ado, let's get this thing started. And I'm going to start this one off right. I know you got a lot of dishes to throw out here, but it's the cookout, so I kind of, you know, wanted to extend it, open it for everybody for the kitchen. I just didn't want to leave it, you know, to one setting, you know, being behind the basketball dishes, because I know we could have did the crossover, but it's so much drama. I don't even want to really call it drama because some people feel a certain way behind that Super Bowl, but I haven't had you here in a week, so I got to jump right into that thing. Super Bowl 53 ends in a 13-3 score, lowest scoring game in the Super Bowl era NFL history. Your thoughts on the game in its entirety? I mean, I didn't even get the winner out of you, if you like the Patriots or the Rams. Knowing you being in California, you probably went Rams. Don't try to say Patriots now, because I know how you feel about Brady. So I'm going to just say that you went Rams. I'm not even going to say I assume. I know you were going for the Rams. But your thought on that game and anything that, you know, caught your eye, let's get this thing smoking.
Yeah, great. I was cheering for the Rams. This is true. But you do know me, and you know I'm a Belichick guy. I like Belichick. I like the way he game plans. And he did it again. He did it to the Rams, and it was pretty remarkable that he just they shut down, and they just literally couldn't do anything on offense. Everybody knows this. Everybody that watched the game knows this. And the Patriots, you know, they got the sixth ring for Brady and Belichick together, and that's the way I guess it should go. The rightful team won. The better team won. I don't know what to say about the game other than it was boring. Like, it wasn't exciting at all. It was just like, I mean, there was this punt. I mean, I guess if you like punting, if you like watching some punts, I don't know what happened with Gurley. I don't know why he just all of a sudden is even throughout the play. Like, was he hurt? I mean, I heard he was hurt. I heard he wasn't hurt. I mean, there was so many. I didn't delve deep enough into it to figure out what the situation was. But he definitely wasn't himself. He wasn't playing anymore. Brady was he's kind of like Peyton Manning when Denver won the Super Bowl a few years back. He was just doing what he could do and getting the ball to his guys, Edelman and Gronk even a little bit, moved the ball, got enough points to win, as everybody saw. It was a fun game because everybody gets together. It's Super Bowl Sunday. It's like a holiday here in America and all over the world. I imagine other places too. Not all over the world, but you know what I'm talking about. Boring game. It's the GOAT, Belichick, and I guess it was the GOAT, Brady won. They both won. And Rams, you got to go back to the drawing board and try and put together another team. Our buddy from Greenwich, John Sullivan, was in the game, and he got caught for a holding penalty. I don't know. He doesn't get too many penalties, but he's a credit guy. And it was good to see him out there on the big stage. The Super Bowl, the commercials were good, I guess. Like, the halftime show was a big spectacle. That's what I got. What is your take on the game? I mean, my take is that Belichick is the greatest coach of all time. I'll go there with my love for Belichick, my man love for Belichick. That's my man crush, and he's just a brilliant mind, and he can game plan with the best of them. He did it again, and 2 weeks in a row. He actually did it in the first half against the Chiefs, too. The two very, very, very good offenses. Good for Belichick and good for the city of Boston, Patriots fans.
To the normal football fan or aficionado, it could have been boring. Well, it's boring to other people, but I play defense. I know what fun is. And that had to be one of the more thrilling games. And I'm going to put this perspective back in front of you. You don't have to answer because we have somebody here, but I'm going to throw it to you, or say it to you anyway. Why is it different in one style of football compared to another? If you see a 3-3 score in the beginning of the fourth quarter, you're not at the edge of your seat waiting to see who gets the ball last or who scores next. But if you watch football, a.k.a. soccer, and it's a 0-0 game with 85 minutes on the clock, you got 5 minutes before they reach the final time or reach extra time, you're at the edge of your seat if it's the World Cup. No, but it's different for the Super Bowl. Like I understand people want to see scores. They want the scoreboard to light up, but it's different. But hold on, I got people here. The grill is calling in by way of the state of Arizona. We have Mr. Silver, a.k.a. Nacho, in the building. Welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
Oh, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good.
Okay, so you already know what to do. I don't have to tell you too much. You know what to do right about now.
Okay, so Super Bowl, was it boring? I'll tell you, boring. 22-0 at half on the way to a 43-8 thumping Denver and Seattle. Now that's effing boring. I enjoyed the game because I enjoyed football. What I didn't enjoy was watching Bill Belichick call one of the most beautifully offensive games and see it every time be ruined by something or somebody or whatever, one of these players, whoever it is, and then we see another punt, and then we see another punt, and then we see another punt. And then not only does he do it offensively, but he goes ahead and turns around and shuts down one of the most high-potent offenses on the NFL, holds him to 3 points. Jesus, Louises, Sam Ecker, Kecker, whatever that kicker's name is. I know Pat McAfee had a hell of a Super Bowl, let's be honest. So let's sit here and dissect the game. Not too much to dissect. A brilliant display of defense by the New England Patriots and a lackluster performance by Sean McVay, who, by the way, takes time out before the beginning of the game to go find Mr. Bill Belichick, kiss the ring, and say, oh, daddy, I'm here for you to take me over your knee and give me this whooping. So take that as you may. He doesn't do anything. He runs it one time with Todd Gurley in, like, I think the first half. It was preposterous what I was watching Sean McVay try to do with Jared Goff. Now, Jared Goff couldn't do anything outside of the schemes of the play. You know, if it wasn't, you know, in the confines of a drop back pass and 1-2-3 go or a play action pass. He was not having it. He couldn't make any complete throws. He was throwing it to the ground, out of bounds. Again, a testament to that defense. They were putting it on him. But he missed some wide open players. He puts that ball on a rope to Cooks in the end zone. Mr. McCourty, I don't know which one it was, has no chance to make the tremendous play he does coming from the opposite side of the field. He lofts that ball, floats it into the back of the end zone, and Cooks got to make a great play on it, and he can't because McCourty's there. He throws it on a rope in stride, the way that play is supposed to be. It's a 7-point play, a 6-point play, touchdown. But he just couldn't do it. I don't understand what was wrong with Mr. Jared Goff and Mr. Sean McVay. It was just ridiculous. Again, the defense of the Los Angeles Rams, it is what it is, man. They went out there and held this team to 3 points for more than three quarters, I believe. And they did everything they needed to, try to do everything they could. But the genius that is Bill Belichick, he takes that drive, he figures out where they're at, weaknesses at, and then he exploits it, tells them what to do. They execute what they're supposed to do as players, mindless sheep, you might say. Which is, you know, perfect for what you're trying to do in the NFL. You got 22 players. You want 22 mindless sheep doing everything that you say from the get-go and not questioning it. Their job and their job alone. And that's all they do. And that's why they win. It's just pure genius from Bill Belichick from the top to the bottom. He knows what he's doing, when he's doing it, and who he's doing it to. Again, I do think there was a little bit of the Sean McVay looking across the field at, you know, a Bill Walsh, a Vince Lombardi, a Bill Belichick. When I could imagine the guys in those time frames looking across the field and seeing who they've got to go up against, and it's an overwhelming task, I guarantee you. So, as much as it is to that, you got to show up and you got to play more than 3 points. Jesus Louise! Again, the guy who puts $100 or $250 on the Rams only scoring 3 points, cashes in $100,000. Thank you, Vegas. I love you. Anything else? I think that sums it up. Again, 8 Super Bowl rings. I'm going to shout it one more time from the effing mountaintops. As an assistant, 2. As a head coach, 6. Bill Belichick, the greatest coach of all time. The greatest coach of all time. No asterisk, no nothing. Vince Lombardi, amazing. Again, just superb. There's not anything more I can say about Vince Lombardi. But Bill Belichick has done it in an era where guys on the offensive line are 6'5", 395,000 pounds. Defensive linemen are 6'10", 360, and they run a 4.140 damn near. It is ridiculous the talent that is out there, and Bill Belichick has been winning since 2001. Oh, my goodness, I was in high school when he started winning.
Wow. So, let me get in here and, like cook a little, eat a little. Like, I couldn't really do too much. I thought I'd throw a little analogy to, you know, Vinny a little bit, but here goes something. Okay, so I'm going to, like, pick apart a lot of what Vinny broke down and also you as well, Nacho. Now, one, I understand, and not just saying you, Vinny, I won't even just, like, say it was you because you probably could have found some excitement or amazement in this. Tom Brady's first pass of the game was an interception. Weren't you excited? Like, I was thinking, this is going to be a long day for Brady. It's like, his first pass got picked off. I was like, whoa. like, this defense is for real. And then, like, you know, Belichick said, oh, yeah. Well, I got some secret weapons. I got a nuclear bomb. I can do everything I want. And it was funny because at the end of the game, Gilmore came out and said we had so many different packages on how we were going to attack him blitzing that he's never seen before. And they said we could tell he was nervous. So, like, knowing that they had him with happy feet from get-go probably took a lot away from the passing game and having him have his feet set and making passes downfield. And the one player that they took away from him, I mean, even though they took away basically everybody out of the offense, but they took away Robert Woods. Belichick, the genius in him, took away probably the go-to receiver that he would go to if they were going after Cooks or making it difficult for another player in the passing game to go to. They took away Woods to not let him build confidence in that passing game, and you can see where it was going. That's why I can't believe that Belichick was able to force 8 punts out the gate. Like, out the gate, they came up with 8 different punts. Like, that's impressive. Like, but, you know, everybody, it's almost like, and I'm glad we're in the kitchen, I get to talk like this. It's almost like baseball fans, the people that watch baseball, they live to go to the game to watch a home run, watch Mark McGwire, watch Barry Bonds, watch Sammy Sosa, watch all the guys take a ball at the park. But they don't live to see guys make catches in the field like Ken Griffey, or even though a lot of people won't like me to say this, but Barry Bonds make a play in the field. You know, so, I mean, defense does win championships, and it did happen right here. A lot of people were like, they weren't impressed by the game and were bored, so on and so forth. If you guys understand who the hell Aaron Donald is, Brady had to do what he had to do to get the ball off. Brady was successful against a guy like Joey Bosa, who's young in his career. Joey Bosa was able to get in the backfield all season long within 2.5 seconds of a snap. Brady was getting the ball out anywhere from 2.2 to 2 seconds flat to getting the ball out. They said that Aaron Donald was creating so much pressure this year that he was able to get back there in 2.2 seconds. Brady was wasting no time to see that dude hit him at all. And in the fact that the Rams were only able to sack him one time in his entire run of the playoff run, that's impressive to me. Even though they were able to force a fumble and Brady got the ball back, they actually hurried him and he threw that pick at the beginning of the game. I mean, that comes into play as well. Here's a play within a play that I live for, and this is something that my defensive coach taught me, and also one of the coaches that, rest in peace, Coach Naismith, told me to keep smashing dudes, and I lived that. I lived that play, and I've done it. There was a play, Sonny Michel picked up like 13 or 14 yards on a run. Brady says, hype, and I thought it was Aaron Donald. It was Sue. Sue got through the line basically untouched because he basically beat the blocker so quickly. And the fullback Devlin steps up to try to make the block. Sue creams Devlin. Now, mind you, now Devlin is probably one of the bigger fullbacks in the NFL. If you haven't seen him, you can Google him, Wikipedia him, whatever you need to do, look him up. He's a big guy. Sue gets through there and hits this guy like he is a 90-pound receiver and trying to just go get after Sonny Michel. He couldn't. Sonny made the move to get through the hole that was created and picked up a big first down. I know once Brady seen that, he knew that those two were not playing. They wanted a Super Bowl, period. And then at the end of that, it was like Brady started getting that ball out so quickly. I can tell when the Rams were defeated. In the fourth quarter, Brady was saying hike, and Aaron Donald would just stand up. He wouldn't even move. He wouldn't put pressure on the tackles, nothing, no guard. He just was standing up. I'm looking at the screen like, what is going on? Like, Aaron Donald's not even trying to get back there, but I knew – that was to the point where that mind game set in, like that mental toughness got beat out of him because he basically thought in his mind he can't get back there. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I knew Brady had won that game, even though they didn't put the score up yet. But that was a situation where I was like, what's going on? Now, the one thing that sticks to my craw, and it is really getting under my skin, and I love this dude. I'm not going to say I like him. I love him. I'm not going to lie. You are in the bloody Super Bowl. Todd Gurley, I don't know. Okay, before the game, the week before the game, you said you were fine. You said you were fine in the Super Bowl. You went to college in Georgia. Matter of fact, your university just lost a national championship on that field just about 12 months before this. And you're in this game, and you're only going to give these guys 10 carries, 35 yards, and one of the carries, it looked like you had that gift to go. Like he looked like he didn't look like he was hobbling or nursing anything. You're sitting on the sideline. What's going on? Like, what's going on? And I feel bad because it's like I feel like I'm owed an apology or you need to give me some explanation. But it's like you robbed everybody to see what you turned into, because a lot of people know Todd Gurley. As the game goes on, he gets stronger. Well, as the game went on, he stayed on the sideline. So it's like, I don't know what type of explanation or excuse or what McVay says or what have you, but they rob people in that sense. But other than that, that game was good as advertised, even though we didn't see the scores. We didn't see the scoreboard get lit up, but it came down to the fourth quarter. And if I don't even like to put the ifs in the situation, but if the Rams kick a field goal and make it 13-6 and keeps it within an 8-point game, and Brady, everyone to get Brady's games that he's won has been within an 8-point win. This is the first time he's won in a 2-possession game. And they also missed the field goal themselves at the early point of the game, too, in the New England Patriots. So everything happened in this. I definitely have to tip my hat to Bill Belichick. I don't even know who I could throw in the conversation of being a better coach than him other than trying to put Lombardi there. But at that point, it was like 6 teams in the NFL. This is the year or the era of bigger, stronger, faster. So I don't know how I could do that. And right now, people, please give me a break. Enough is enough. You cannot put another quarterback in this discussion any longer. You can't. I know people keep trying to say. I had somebody run up on me at my job, and knowing that I've been preaching this Brady stuff, they had the nerve to say Brett Favre. And I'm like, I respect Brett. you really gonna make me pick on somebody that I don't like because he's in my division, but I respect Brett. But don't make me like do this to him. Like he's not in that discussion. It's bad enough that Peyton is out of the discussion. The last hope that people have to put in discussion is Joseph Montana, and Joseph is overlapped by 4 different Super Bowls. Whether if you want to include the losses that Brady had, he's still overlapped. Like, there's no more discussion on the best quarterback in the league. Like, I can say quarterback, like other people trying to say, well, best football player ever. And it's interesting because that's an interesting discussion because you could think of LT, even though you got another player like Ray Lewis. I don't know if people heard or seen it, but Ray Lewis was doggone disgruntled about how Brady's successful now. It's like, well, you also got Ray Lewis, you got Jerry Rice, you got Jim Brown, and so many different players. So that's an interesting discussion in itself. But this Super Bowl was good as advertised. All of the players played except Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley, I think you robbed the world, not just the city, not just the country, the world. Okay,
well,
so
Ty,
if I could
for a second here on Todd Gurley. The first thing on Todd Gurley is, have you guys heard what was wrong with him? Like, does anybody even know? It's pretty remarkable.
I think it's his knee or groin. But he said he was fine all in the week leading up to the game. So, but I don't mean to cut you off. Go ahead, but I think that's what he said.
No. Yeah, I wanted to know. I wanted to see what was going on with him. I didn't know that he was hurt. I remember seeing him exactly what you saw, that he was healthy and ready to go. And even in the playoffs, he just wasn't really playing all that much. And I just don't know. It had to be an injury. Everyone said that, but nothing came out. And about Brady, I 100% agree with you. He's the GOAT. Definitely the greatest quarterback of all time, especially if you look at Super Bowls, accolades. But the remarkable thing about Brady is that up until he was like 30 or 32, or he wasn't really putting up those, like, those crazy numbers up until that year where he threw, I think it was 50 touchdown passes. He was over 30. He had already won, I think, 2 or 3 Super Bowls. And then he started putting up the ridiculous video game numbers. And then you put the accolades with the numbers and everything else. And they were like, oh, this guy's the greatest. But he was pretty average early in his career.
Wait. He was 30 in 2007. That's when he threw the 50 touchdown.
Okay, so that's when he started. Once he threw that year when he threw the 50 touchdowns, is the year that he started to really go off and put up the ridiculous numbers and be the top of the line quarterback. He wasn't really looked at as a stats topper quarterback until then. And he still won Super Bowls and was a good game manager, but not the way he kind of got better. Like wine, he got better as he got older, and obviously reached his pinnacle, I think, recently. I don't know if he's gonna come back at what his situation is. I'm cheering for him to come back because I want to see a 40-some-year-old guy go to the Super Bowl and so that's just exciting. But that's my take on Brady. It's been nice to watch him and Belichick work together.
And I'm caught in between both. It's like I kind of want to see him retire to do like some Jordan stuff, retire on top, do it like Elway. But then again, it's like the fan in me. I wanted like how I looked at it at Kobe, but I didn't want to see Kobe go out injured. I want to see, like, the decline in Brady. I want to see him get worse and then, like, him be like, you know what, I'm not built for the game anymore. But I don't want to see him injured. But he's going to put up 10 to 11 wins a season, regardless of who's on the roster. He's doing it with nobody. Like, I feel bad to pick on Gronk, and I respect the hell out of Gronk. But it's like if Gronk was on another team, especially the way that he's looking right now, Gronk would be torn apart and be nobody at this point in time. Gronk is still a household name in New England. Chris Hogan, put Chris Hogan on whoever. I'm like, where do you think he would be a factor with the NFL? And Julian Edelman, he won MVP. You think he would do this in any other roster? Like, he'd probably get his catches. He'd probably do what Cole – I would look at him like a Cole Beasley. He'd probably do what Cole Beasley's doing, but you're not going to get that effort away from New England, knowing how they work every player within that organization, and they're only getting better. And the crazy part about this, if Brady does come back, do you know how many picks the Patriots get going into this draft? They are going to be young as heck, fresh legs, coming after people, and Brady is still the old goat behind center. Like, good God almighty. It's like, I don't know which way to go if Brady stays or he goes. Like, if he stays, it's like, I don't want to watch football no more because it's like he's only getting better. And if he goes, it's like, what a way to go out. Think about this. Brady has been in the league since, what, 2000, right? And he started starting in, what, 2001, more than halfway through the season, right? So he basically had a potential of 18. I'll include the 19, but 18. I'll say 18, right? 18 seasons. One season he didn't play because he got hurt game one up against the Chiefs in 2008 after that Super Bowl run, right? He has been to the Super Bowl 9 times. So that means every 2 years average, he is in the Super Bowl. That is ridiculous. Like that is ridiculous. I can't even think. And he's been the 13 championship game. He lost 4 of them. Like, and I understand where Ray Lewis is coming from. Ray Lewis was like, well, he's in the AFC East. That's a guaranteed 6 wins. And basically, it was his style of play. He got all of the rules set for him, so it's easy for him to not get hit or no hands to the helmet or hit low, so it brings his longevity into play. So I understand where Ray's coming from, but Ray, like, leave him alone. Like, nobody talked about anything that you did. You don't have anybody in the NFL talk about what you did in Atlanta in the year 2099. Like, they leave you alone, Ray. Like, let it go. You could have continued to play, too, and do what you needed to do with that defense, and you retire respectfully on top, winning a championship. Like, let Brady do what he's doing, eating his avocados, no sugar, no tomatoes. I found out his diet. That's right. I found out what the hell Brady's eating. And the worst part about it, I don't like raw tomatoes, but I eat tomatoes. But I feel some type of way about that. But you got people that are up and down about it. I love the people that are finally confessing that these guys are the GOATs, whether it is Belichick or whether it is Brady. But there's still a guy out there, and I'm going to say his name. I like to hide medias and reporters and analysts and things of that nature. I don't like to say their names. But I don't know if you guys have heard of him. Robert Parker, zip it. Zip it. If you say another crazy thing to try and find some way to, like, poo-poo Belichick and Brady and get on all these networks or trying to say why they aren't the best, you look ridiculous. I'm glad I'm here in the kitchen to say it right now. You look absolutely ridiculous, and I'm glad that they are letting you go on air to make a fool of yourself. To make a fool of yourself. You look absolutely ridiculous. Wow. Okay, I had to get that one off my chest. Anything else, Nacho, that you'd like to say before we get away from it?
No, I'm good.
Okay, so now, well, let me be fair. Anything else that you'd like to say before we get away from this as well?
No, I think we touched on everything. It's congratulations to the Patriots and Bill Belichick, and great run.
And to all of you spoiled Massachusetts, Boston fans, you guys are so spoiled that you guys are winning so much in the past 19 seasons. These guys were at the parade yesterday fighting each other. I'm talking about an all-out brawl. An all-out brawl. But you guys, they're winning so much. They're knocking each other out. I'm talking about it. If you have not seen the video, it's on my wall. It's like ridiculously. It's like, y'all don't deserve nothing. Now that mess around, the Brady don't win again. Y'all don't know how to act. Okay. Let me get away from that. I had to get that one out there as well. Now, to the hardwood. A.K.A. the round ball basketball. Now, I feel some type of way because people in the kitchen. I'm not even gonna say people know me. I'm gonna just address it how it is. I like LeBron. I don't even want to say that I don't like him. I love him a lot. But in 2012, I had to pick a side. It was like, do I pick my Thunder or do I pick LeBron to get his first championship? I'm gonna go with my team. But then it's like time went on. He won another championship. Then he lost. Then he won another championship. Then he started losing like crazy. And people started considering him the king, right? I don't look at him as the GOAT of basketball, but a lot of people try to throw that in there, right? So then You look at all of the needs that LeBron needs at this point. He wants Luke Walton out of there. He's looking for another coach, and they're trying to hide the fact that he might have spoken to somebody there. I don't know whether he spoke to Magic Johnson. There has been smoke at the beginning of the season, but Magic Johnson trying to address Luke Walton, I guess putting more pressure on Luke Walton to coach better, I'm guessing. That has not happened. They're in the Western Conference. They are below the eighth seed, and teams are getting stronger within the Western Conference. Now, enter the discussion of Anthony Davis, a.k.a. The Brow. He drops his agent. He picks up the same agent as LeBron. And then the conversation starts, oh, well, we need to get him in L.A. So as soon as that conversation starts, it's like they want him there immediately, right? Now, it's funny because you look at what the Pelicans did and him saying that he wanted out of New Orleans as soon as possible, so on and so forth, before the trade deadline or at the end of the season. New Orleans is sitting back laughing at him and basically addressing the Los Angeles Lakers, basically saying, well, you know what? If you want him, we want the six players that you threw up there, including, I didn't even know it was four second rounds. I thought it was just four first rounds. If we're going after four first and four second round picks from the Lakers, are you out of your mind? You might as well say that you own the Pelicans and the Lakers. Like, you own both organizations just for LeBron's sake, just so LeBron can get Anthony Davis. And with all of that being said, the Lakers pulled out and said they don't want anything else to do with the trade. So they're basically going to have to wait until the offseason free agency frenzy starts, and Anthony Davis can make a decision on where he may like to go. I put this focus back in front of LeBron because all of this went down, all of the players that they try to move, all of the draft picks that they try to get, they played a team in the middle of America named the Indiana Pacers, in which their superstar player, Victor Oladipo, was out for the season with a ruptured, I want to say it's a rupture in his knee. I'm not sure if it's a quad or his knee, but he ruptured something bad. He's out for the season. The Lakers lost that game by 42 points, and LeBron was playing. In which there was a portion in time in the game where LeBron was on the sideline. The entire bench sat next to the coaching staff and each other. LeBron had three seats in between him, the coaching staff, and the players. If you're not talking about team separation and you call him a king, who's following him now if he's a doggone king? Who's following him if you call him a king? That's the funny part. So I will put that on the grill because I got that thing smoking. I'm not playing around. I will come to you first, Vinny. Your thoughts since you are in California. Well, both of you guys are on the west side. But your thoughts on LeBron, the status of the Lakers, and the Brow as well.
Yeah, well, listen. If you're hearing all these rumors that you're going to get traded, and you're Lonzo Ball, you're Kuzma and Ingram, and these guys are part of the team, and they've been playing together now for a couple of years, and they've built camaraderie, and they're just like a cohesive unit, and nobody likes to hear that, and they're going to start to blame maybe LeBron, and these guys aren't dumb, so they know that Anthony Davis has signed with LeBron's people or LeBron's childhood friend who now is an agent and doing all that. So Anthony Davis signed with them and there's influence to get him to Los Angeles. You know what's going on. I think that definitely plays into how you're going to play on the court. You don't know if you're going to get traded or not. Are you going to be part of the team anymore? And everybody's thinking like that. So you're not thinking about, oh, we got to go out there and beat the Pacers tonight. And then it falls on Luke Walton to say, oh, you got to get the guys ready to go no matter what. Okay, that's true. You guys are getting paid big money. That's their job, to get everybody rallied up and ready to play. At the same time, it's hard. They're human beings, and they're kids. Lonzo Ball, what the hell is Lonzo Ball? He's 20 yet? He's 20 years old? They're throwing them in the fire, and they might be here, they might not be there, and is it LeBron's fault? I don't know that it's LeBron's fault or not. I don't know if LeBron's going up to Magic and those guys and saying, I want Anthony Davis, do whatever you can to get him. And who knows what LeBron's doing. My take
what do you
on
think?
This
well, wait,
is...
Before you keep going, what do you think? Do you think he's approached them? Do you think that he's just walking in and out of the Staples Center and that's that? Or do you think he's going up to the front office and said, made an assessment or a recommendation that something could change? You know, or... like, he called for Luke Walton. Like, do you think he said anything? Or do you really think he just gets in his car, comes to the arena, gets back in his car, go home? How do you feel?
I feel that the Lakers are being influenced by the public pressure too much to do something different, to get another player for LeBron. And this influence has maybe that they didn't get Kawhi or Paul George, and that didn't transpire the way they wanted it to. And this influence and this pressure that's coming on them to win now from Laker fans and everybody, and is forcing them to maybe make a move that they otherwise wouldn't do. I feel that LeBron is playing basketball, and maybe he has. I don't think. My opinion is I don't think LeBron is going up to Magic and saying I want Anthony Davis. I'll trade whoever to get. I don't think LeBron's doing that. I think that the Lakers are making rash, and they haven't done anything yet. They just made supposed offers, half their team and first round picks for Anthony Davis. I think that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Kuzma's a good player. Lonzo Ball's a good player. Ingram's a good player. These are three very good players. You're going to trade them all and first round pick for Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is a great player. Don't get me wrong. He's going to be the face of the league, probably one of the best players for the next 5, 6, 10 years, maybe. But there's no reason to mortgage your entire young talent that you've cultivated and that are playing together and that actually are good and they're actually winning. Not like a horrible team. They're moving in the right direction. If they keep this team together for the rest of this year, maybe a draft pick and a good player. Who knows what they do with a free agent? But if they can sign a very good free agent to play alongside LeBron next year they're going to be a very, very good team, a competitive team, a team that could actually compete with the Warriors for a championship, I think. So just to go in all in and just trade everybody for Anthony Davis, I think that's foolish. I don't think that that's a good decision. And I don't think LeBron James is in Magic Johnson's ear saying, you've got to do this, you've got to do this. I think that he's playing. I think LeBron James is very, very, very smart. And he is resting his body with this injury. Maybe he's injured a little bit, but I think that if he had to, he would play. But I think he's taking care of himself, and he wants to make sure he's got another 5, 6 years left, and he's going to try and get a championship. And he knows that he's probably not going to get it this year. And if I'm LeBron James, I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to trade all these guys for Anthony Davis. If I were LeBron and I'd say anything, I would say, don't do that. Lonzo Ball is going to be a superstar. Yeah, he really is if he continues to progress. Kuzma also. Ingram, he's got to improve a little more, but I think he can get there too. I don't think LeBron James is the sole factor that's influencing the decisions with Anthony Davis, what the Lakers are doing. Now, the whole thing with his best friend, it's his agent, it's now with Anthony Davis' agent and all these other NBA players that he's now representing. I forget the guy's name, but he's actually doing good for the players. He's getting them a lot of money.
Rich Paul, I think his name is Rich Paul.
Okay, yeah, that's right, Rich Paul. He's doing a good thing. He's getting, he's for the players. He's really, really helping out. But see, the thing is he represents so many players now. I don't know how many so many is. I don't know. But he represents a good amount of players, and he's best friends with LeBron James. Like, they grew up together. So there's going to be some kind of collusion going on, some kind of shady business. Like, oh, to talk to this player, get him to come to my team or whatever. It's these guys are very young, and these are big decisions. Get somebody like Paul and LeBron in there. It's hard to say that these players are not influenced on where they go. As far as the organization, I really, really doubt that any player is influencing what they do. But Lavo, what do you think about it? Do you think that LeBron is influencing it? What's Nacho's take?
Mr. Silva, have at it, and I'll also get the news that he just broke to me as well, too.
Yeah, I think the entirety of that whole situation was to me, a child in the Pelicans being upset that things weren't going their way. Pretty much a player didn't want to play for them and wanted to leave. Okay, that's fine and dandy. Go and leave. Well, you're never going to get anyone to trade because our demands are so high. Oh, wait, there's a team that really wants to pay these demands. Psych, now it's even more. Oh, wait, you're willing to pay that too? Actually, it's even more. Oh, wait, so everyone but LeBron and every pick for the next 15 years is available? Nah, we're out now. We're out now. We can't do that. So to me, it was the Pelicans being angry because the Lakers were willing to get their player at any means necessary. Again, do I think LeBron – or not again, but the question, do you think LeBron is in there gaming and game planning? No, I don't think this is a Cleveland situation where he's goes in, practices, gets out of practice, and spends another 4 or 5 hours in the front office with everyone making decisions, which I highly think was the case in Cleveland. I could be completely wrong and I could be stupid, but it just seems as if he was definitely involved in a lot of situations involving players, personnel and things of that nature in Cleveland. In L.A., as similar to Miami, the front office ain't going to play that. One, it's not a front office that doesn't know what they're doing. And two, it's not an organization that's, you know, perennial losers that just has everything to love of you and LeBron James because you are the only thing good that's come out of the city. We could talk about what Cleveland's got in a later day. But you know what I mean. It's just the Pelicans were just so upset. The Lakers were just so upset at one point, I'm sure, because they were saying yes to everything. But I have to agree. I do believe LeBron said, you know, go get AD. And then after about, you know, the first time when New Orleans comes back and then it's an astronomical ask. It was like damn near 5 starting players and whatever, 1 first-rounder, 2 first-rounders, whatever that first one was. I'm sure LeBron was like, wait a minute, come on now. I mean, he's a great player and everything, but we need a future. And me and him, it can't be 2-on-5 for the next 10 years. It just can't be like that. So I do believe he wanted AD. I do believe he was willing to trade maybe 1 Alonzo Ball, maybe 2 players to get him and some draft picks. I think he was okay with that. And I think we could all be okay with that. It's just once the prices got so astronomical and it was, you know, 15, you know, all players, they wanted Luke Walton for 42 games out the season. You know, they wanted Magic Johnson's career stats to reflect, you know, whatever, some Pelicans bullshit. I mean, they just wanted so much from the Lakers. At one point, it was fallacy. It was just so fugazi at what they were doing. You're just like, you know, you don't want to deal him at this point. That's when I go to that. Again, I've been a huge proponent or opponent of LeBron being the king, getting into that topic now as well. It's been something on me that I, you know, I've always reverted back to the easiness of the AFC East. Oh, I mean the Eastern Conference. The easiness of getting just a walk through the regular season to where towards the end you saw him not care about first, second, third seats. He didn't even care in LeBron. It was just get me in, we're in the Eastern Conference, and we're going to be in the finals. That's kind of what it was. Can you say maybe it was a little bit of Eastern Conference teams playing him and then not getting and being I don't know. I can't express the right word, but scared, so to speak. Oh, this is the quote-unquote king. He's been to, you know, 5 straight finals now, 6 straight finals now, 7 straight finals now. He's going to do it again, no matter how good we are as the Celtics or the Raptors or, you know, anyone else in the East. It didn't seem to matter over that span that he was going to get there. How impressive that is pretty impressive to me. I hear he wants to get rid of Luke Walton. He needs something else. What is he going to get? A high caliber Ty Lue, or is he going to get one of those Eric Spoelstra type, you know, head coaches? Because those were his head coaches that he went to 8 straight finals with the exception of Dwayne Wade and an asterisk on Chris Bosh. He didn't play with any Hall of Famers. You want to count Shaq there at the end? I mean, whatever, but. The guy's career is nothing to laugh at and nothing to sit here and denigrate. But can I put him in the same conversation with guys who, you know, what was Bill? It was 13 years, and one as a player coach. And then you go down to you go through all of the names of the NBA who just won championships. I think it was Colin, an analyst, who said, you know, it's been something like 8 guys have won something like 6 rings. So guys winning championships in the NBA is something that happens. So knocking LeBron for making it and not winning that many, it can be a huge knock on him. I'm not going to say it's not. This is not a 22-man game where when this team goes on defense, he has to sit down on the bench. He is accountable for both sides of the basketball. So it is on him. I just can't put him in that King discussion. I think it comes down to me that the losses in the finals, again, I can denigrate the Eastern Conference all I want. He's still got to win those games. He's still got to put in the effort. It's a series. It's not one and done. So he's got to go in and win, you know, 4 games, 3 games, 4 games, 4 games. So, again, what he did was you know, again, Eastern Conference, you might want to put an asterisk in this time frame. But, man, I just can't hate on the guy. But I can't call him the king. I can't call him the greatest of all time in the NBA. It just can't happen when you've got guys like Magic Johnson, when you've got guys like Jordan, when you've got guys like, you know, Bill Russell, and the list goes on. The Wilts of the world, just everyone, the Wilts of the world, like there's more than one. But it's just, man, I'm not going to sit here and hate on him like I had for so long. I just can't. But I'm not going to put him in that greatest of all time. Again, saying, does he need help? You know, I'm not going to knock him. I mean, I know because Jordan played with 4 bums. He had no Hall of Famers. I know Kobe didn't, you know, he played with no one. So, of course, those guys did it all by themselves, so they get all the love and respect. But, you know, LeBron, he didn't have anyone either. He didn't have anyone. There's nobody there. Dwayne Wade, I mean, Kyrie Irving, when he's healthy, it's not the same to me. That whole he needs help type of thing to win. He did it with pretty much no one. So that's how I feel on that. But again, the whole Lakers and the whole New Orleans thing. Just step back on that real quick before we move on to the next thing. I know you got the trade coming up, but it just seems to me that he's going to be an LA Laker. And it's going to just hurt New Orleans even more because they could have got something out of it if they weren't so childish and just took maybe the first or the second offer and ran away with it instead of, you know, upping it and upping it and upping it. It's going to hurt them a lot to watch him walk away for nothing and then the L.A. Lakers get to put on that jersey for way cheaper than it could have been.
Now, here's how I look at this whole situation, right? And I got a caller at you, too, so I'm going to get to you, caller. Just hang on. This is very crazy. You can deal one person. I can pick one, like the kid Zubac, or I'm just trying to pick somebody, like at random. I don't want to just pick, you know, Lonzo Ball or Ingram. I want to keep those players there. Let's just say they just gave Anthony Davis to the Lakers. Let's just say they just gave him there, no player move. The Lakers, as they're constructed, they probably won't even get to the playoffs now. Do you think Anthony Davis wants to go there, just him and LeBron and the pieces that they have there, and be possibly a second-round knockout, if at best a Western Conference final, which I don't even think if he came there with the pieces that they have, they'd get there. They look like this right now. I want people to think about this. They look like this right now with that kid Zubac. They have JaVale McGee and Tyson Chandler sitting on the bench when it's crunch time. If those two, one is 7'3", the other is 7'1", and can jump, they don't even feel comfortable with him on the floor now. How does that make them better if Anthony Davis goes there? LeBron went there for money. LeBron did not go to L.A. for a championship. Please do not think that he went to the Lakers to take off the doggone Warriors' head. If you thought he was going to go there to take their heads off this year, he signed a 4-year deal. That means the next year, whoever comes, they got to get it done then. If not, then it's a wash because LeBron's going downhill too. He's starting to decline. People don't notice that. I mean, he's still an awesome player. He's still probably one of the biggest physical specimens in the league to try and deal with that, the three or four position, wherever they put him at, but he's playing the small forward. But he's not going to win a championship if the Warriors they have constructed, or a lot of teams that are in the Western Conference. I still think a lot of teams that are ahead of them standings-wise still have an upper edge on them, even teams that aren't even in the top eight. I think the Wolves are better than them. Just to throw a team out there, Utah could probably be better than the Lakers in a seven-game series. That's a very interesting situation, just to look at how the West is constructed. LeBron hightailed it out of the Eastern Conference because a lot of competition came there. Kawhi came there. The Bucks aren't playing around. And, oh, yeah, there's another trade I got to talk about with the Philadelphia 76ers, because think about that. They got Butler, and they also got the guy that I'm getting ready to mention, in Tobias Harris there as well. So the Sixers are built tough, too. It wouldn't have been easy for the Cavaliers, even if LeBron stayed there. LeBron had all-stars in Miami with Ray Allen, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. He had 10 all-stars with him in the midst of Cleveland when they got there for that first championship that he brought there. So LeBron has had help, and he still needs help to get it done. He's a pass first type of guy. He'll make the play if need be. Calling in by way of the 310 area code, welcome to the Cookout. What's on your mind tonight? I think I'm having a little technical difficulty calling. Stay still. If you guys would like to elaborate while I'm talking. Yes, and you're from the 310, correct? Yes.
It's Tom. Yeah, how's it going, man?
All right, Tom, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm good. I'm good. I guess just chiming in on what you guys are chatting about here. I think that there's layers to what's going on right now, right? I think the first thing that we need to look at is just Woj has almost become too powerful to the point that I'm not a Lakers fan, but I find it a little bit funny that everyone is going hard at Magic Johnson for all this stuff leaking when he's negotiating with a team that's not negotiating with him in good faith. Like, do you think Magic Johnson is going to the press and leaking every offer he's putting out there? Like, no. Like, the Pelicans are leaking every offer directly to Woj, who's then putting it out there. So, like, a lot of this hate that's coming about this coming out there is not really fair. Like, if you're a team, and this should reflect really poorly on the Pelicans, although I think everyone's out for Lakers blood right now, so it is what it is. The main thing that I think needs to be focused on here is that this trade really shouldn't be looked at for this season or them winning the title. They're doing this because they believe that the Pelicans want to trade with Boston, that they have to bowl Boston over. I mean, they have to bowl the Pelicans over in order to make it so they don't make it to the Boston scenario. I'm not actually as big of a fan as Boston assets as other people are. I would agree Tatum is undoubtedly the best player of all these guys, but I don't. With the offer the Lakers put out there of Ingram, Kuzma, Ball, two first-round picks, like, Boston's not beaten that by that much. And this buzz of Kyrie and Kevin Durant to the Knicks is very real. Like, the people saying it are the same people that were doing the wink-wink LeBron's going to the Lakers, even though it made no sense. I truly believe those guys are going to go. And the ramifications for that are going to be excellent for the league. And if I'm the Lakers, here's why I don't go all in now. If Kevin Durant goes to the Knicks and Kyrie Irving goes to the Knicks, which at this point, if you look at Vegas, says they have a 37% chance to actually happen, which is decent. If Kevin Durant leaves the Golden State Warriors, you are also guaranteed that Boogie is going to leave the Warriors too, because Boogie can only re-sign for 175% or maybe even 125%, because they don't have the bird rights, of what he makes this year, right? There is a 0% chance that Boogie is coming back to the Golden State Warriors for $7 million next year. It's not going to happen. So they're going to lose Boogie. If they lose Kevin Durant, all of the sudden, let's just hypothetically throw this out there. Let's say the Lakers sign Boogie, who I'm not in love with. I wouldn't love that move, but let's say they do it. Let's say they trade some of their young guys to get Bradley Beal, right? But now let's say the Warriors, with Draymond not looking nearly as good as he used to, Curry, who's incredible, and Clay, who's fantastic, but that's just their team now, and they're a little bit capped out because they had to max all those guys out. You have Durant and Kyrie on the Knicks. Let's even say Davis goes to the Celtics and they have to give up Tatum and a bunch of other guys. What you have is a much more entertaining, much more balanced league, and I could look at you with a straight face and say that a team of LeBron, Boogie, Beal, and whatever Lakers young players, say Kuzma and Ball, or Kuzma and Hart, or or Ingram and whatever are left over, that's a team that could win the title. So you're not like if I'm the Lakers, the Pelicans are just messing with you, and it's all about the Warriors need. If the Warriors split up, like A, we're not just sitting here only talking about the NBA for trades, because the thing about the NBA right now, I love the NBA. But there's a reason the trades are the most entertaining thing right now. The end of this season is a foregone conclusion. The Warriors are fielding Team USA. They're going to win the title. Like, but like, if you start to split those guys up, then like normal transactions could become real. Then the 76ers could win the title. The Lakers with a revamped squad could win the title. The Knicks could win the title. The Celtics could win the title. The Thunder, who knows? Like, it becomes a better league, and so I'm just looking forward not necessarily to this deadline, but hopefully to the breakup of the Golden State Warriors, however it be in the offseason, so that we could get some sanity back. And if I'm the Lakers, yes, it'd be nice to get Davis, but like, you don't like you. I would actually give up all of their young players to get Davis and the two first-round picks, to be clear. When it becomes insane, is asking for four first-round picks. It's not even the picks themselves that you wouldn't give up, right? The picks are like what they are. You could lottery protect them, whatever. So the issue is when you're a team like that, where so much of your cap space is given to two guys, the NBA has rules that you cannot trade first-round picks in back-to-back year. That means that the Lakers cannot use a first-round pick as a trade asset for like 8 years. I admit, and to be a good team, like look at how the Sixers are able to get players. Like when you start to be a capped out team, you need your first round picks to be able to trade. So like, it's just what the Pelicans are asking for. I mean, all these stories about Dell Demps not picking up his phone, like he's some tough guy. Like, man, you're an idiot. The Lakers are willing to give you their team and you're not going to pick up your phone.
No
your
way.
Job is to pick
no
up
way.
Your phone.
No
like,
way.
Yeah.
It, like, you know, if you want to take the Celtics offer, then say no to them at the end of the day. But it seems like you have the Lakers over a barrel right now, and you're not picking up your phone. Like, don't be an idiot. Like, no matter how this ends, this doesn't look good for the Pelicans either. It looks almost, to me, even though everyone's crapping on the Lakers, this arguably looks worse for the Pelicans.
Okay,
yeah,
now go ahead. They're not
too
many
on the season. Like fools.
Hold on, Tom. Go ahead. I think Vinny wanted to say something too.
Sorry, Vinny. Yeah, no, I just wanted to say, inevitably, it is definitely going to look bad on the Pelicans again. We have to. We're not on the phone. We you know, like you said, we have to listen to Woj and that nature. So we have to get it from him. But we don't know what the tone. Again, my father always grew, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. So I don't really know how the tone is between, you know, them two as pertains to the Lakers and the Pelicans. It could be a, yeah, we're willing to give up everything, scoff, laugh, sarcasm, not really. So I don't know for sure, and then maybe that's why you don't, well, if they're just going to give us sarcasm, I'm not going to pick up the phone because I'm done with that BS. And on the second point real quick, you know, the Warriors losing Durant and then losing Boogie, they're still, you know, almost exact replicas of the 73 and 19. So it's not as if they lose those guys and then they go down and we go, oh, well, somebody can beat the Warriors. They still got the key man. Again, if you lose Clay and you have just Steph now, and then, like you said, with just Steph and Draymond, yeah. But if you got Steph, Draymond, and Clay, I think you can, you know, throw in the rest of the guys they got on there too. They'll be just fine. To me, again, I'd pen in Golden and then I'd pencil in State Warriors, to be honest. It would just be one of those things. To me, it wouldn't be so much of a loss unless they lost three or four or five of the guys. But I think, you know, the realization that Durant's just looking for money and he's gone regardless is there. So he's most likely out the door. So I think that they've been in let's retain everything mode from that get-go, the moment that I think it was Bleacher Report or whatever that article came out, and Durant's, you know, explicitly looking for money on this next deal, they got to know that we got to figure out a way to fill that void. You know, you're not going to fill it with one, so you fill it with multiple. Again, so that's how I feel about the Warriors. Go ahead. Sorry, Vinny.
Yeah, no, I mean, so I think your point is great. The Warriors may still be the favorites to win the title. It's just right now with the way they're set up, like the Lakers could trade for James Harden and Anthony Davis and probably still lose to the Warriors. Like it's more just like, you know, it makes them beatable. It makes the NBA competitive again. And let's not like the key to not overlook here, right, is what LeBron James has done. And people can hate on him for this all they want, but he's opened up Pandora's box, and in my opinion, a good way, in the sense that he is a player that, veiled or not, is representing other players and holds power in the NBA through his agency that no player has ever wielded before. And there can be a backlash from any owner and anything. I guarantee you these owners didn't become billionaires rich enough to buy an NBA team because they pitter-pattered and played by the rules constantly. They did the same things to get to the top that LeBron James is using against them now. What you are seeing is a last ditch, and I really truly believe this. LeBron James is changing the NBA in a way that it's not going to go back from. Whether this is a good thing or a bad thing remains to be seen. The owners can stop. Dell Demps cannot pick up his phone and not send Anthony Davis to the Lakers. He can say he's pissed that Rich Paul did what he did or that LeBron acts the way that he did. LeBron James is not the last superstar player that will control things like this now. There is a new precedent set up of one-year deals, of players holding power, of players demanding out. Look at the players that have moved in the last 18 months. This is maybe it's a reaction to the actual Warriors, but in my opinion, this is a new norm of player power. And LeBron James may fall on the sword for this in the last 3 years of his playing career, and maybe no one will end up being on his team. But I don't think the owners are going to be able to walk back from this. There will be players just as good as LeBron at some point who wield just as much power and will do the same thing, because you look at this model, people are not satisfied with just getting their NBA checks. Look at Jay-Z, look at LeBron. Like, these guys are out to become power players, and they're not just out to do it. They are successfully doing it, and we're not going to walk back from this. This is going to be the new norm, and they're just going to have to accept it. They're really just going to have to accept it.
Remy, go ahead. I want Remy to get in because I got some stuff to say too. I want to cook too, damn it. Tom, you just came here and started eating, damn it. You just got in here, man. Slow down.
I'm going to get some Tom's barbecue right now.
Jeez, boy, I'm just hoping to grill him, but he came right in. Go ahead, Vinny. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Tom. I think that you're making some really good points, and I really appreciate actually the conversation, the way that this is going. But listen, it's evolution, right? Like, it goes hand in hand with the rise of the internet and social media and branding. And these players, they aren't just players for a team anymore. You're a brand. You're all over. But you got millions. LeBron James got like 50 million followers on Instagram and on social media, and he's just everywhere. Like the amount of power that you yield from that alone, and the amount of influence you have on just youth and everywhere you go and everything you do, everything you post, you're everybody's paying attention. There's a lot of eyes on you. And I'm just watching like everybody else and kind of enjoying it. But Tom, you're 100% right. This is not going to change. This is going to continue to evolve. And the owners, I like it because the owners don't have as much power as they used to. You don't want owners to be able to have that much power. They're kind of like the NFL, what they did to Kaepernick and some of those other guys. The NFL has different type of rules with players than the NBA. In the NBA right now, it's a little bit easier to manipulate the situation, and even happening in baseball. You have like Bryce Harper and Machado. They still haven't signed. Spring training is like tomorrow. I don't even say it's like in a week or two, and these guys still haven't signed with anybody because they have the power, and it's not like it was. It's evolving, and it's going to continue to change. As for the NBA and the whole LeBron situation, I loved hearing you say Durant, Kyrie, And going a step further, maybe we get the number the Knicks get the number one seed. The Knicks get the number one pick and get Zion too. And then you got a now you got a formidable team, and that is what the NBA would want. They would want a New York team that's looking like they can compete for a championship. Maybe a team in LA, Lakers that can compete for a championship. Boston continuing to do so, but time will tell. It's still early. There's a lot of trades going on. Ty, I'm going to throw it back to you. I do want to talk about the Knicks and Kristaps Porzingis trade and what they're doing.
I'm trying. Listen. I'm trying. I'm trying. These dudes are eating. Okay. These dudes are hungry. Like every time they're not sure. Like I don't know what to say to these two. It's like okay, but they got food and stuff. I can't act like I ain't trying to eat too. But I'm gonna look at it like this. All of you, being Nacho, Tom, and Benny, all of you have played a board game, right? You played a board game in your life, correct?
Sure.
Right. There's a board game called chess. You have never seen the king leave the board while his people are still there fighting for him, correct?
Nope.
This king has left how many different fights? How many different fights? Matter of fact, he's hoping for another piece to come on the board with him right now. And it doesn't look good while there's about eight pieces moved off the board with him right now. They're trying to remove eight pieces off the board. Six players, four. I didn't even know that they, just like I said previously, I didn't even know that they were looking for four second-round suits. They were looking for four first and four second-round draft picks. It was like the Pelicans were laughing at them knowing that that would not happen. They know that that won't happen. Listen, if Magic was dumb enough, and I know Magic Johnson is not dumb, the dude is a billionaire. He don't make a billion dollars being dumb. But if Magic was to pull the trigger on getting rid of the six players, the four first and the four second round picks, it would just be Anthony Davis, LeBron James, JaVale McGee, Tyson Chandler, and the people in the stands. It's like, what are they going to do to the rest of the conference? Like, do you really think that all of that length is just going to win you games and they're going to be rag-tired, especially with a second-year head coach and Luke Walton? Like, I don't think that gets that done. I think the Pelicans were playing the game that Anthony Davis wanted to play. Okay, well, you want to get a new agent? You want to spark up all of this stuff, and we just threw you a $145 million contract a few years ago? That's ridiculous. Like, I laugh at the whole scenario. I laugh at the LeBron situation on LeBron needing somebody because you don't think about the Greg saying that they need somebody. You don't think about the Michael Jordan saying they needed somebody. The Dominique Wilkins, while he was in Atlanta with nobody. Atlanta with nobody going up against Larry Bird and them in the guard and putting up that back-and-forth game with him and Larry Bird. Like, these guys never call for people. You got an era where social media, so many different internet connections, so on and so forth that's happening. For this to happen for a guy like LeBron James is like, it's bug. It's wild.
Ty, you have done that. Okay. We gotta pump the brakes a little. I'm not going to denigrate this generation because they all played in AAU together and won a championship. Because they all went to the same high school or in the same vicinity and played against each other, and they want to play against each other now. We are in a bigger society. Kids play with each other. Kids travel cross country to play against these guys. And then they need him. And then now this is a day and age where I can meet someone at a camp, and not only can we keep in touch, but we can see each other every day face to face. This is a whole new different era than it used to be. When the greats used to probably even see each other in college, if they ever did, they never talked to each other again. But do you think that if the greats saw each other, they wouldn't want to pick another great's brain and try and go, oh, how can I better my game because this guy is definitely great. I'm going to try to be better than him. So, again, I don't like it. I'm not 100% sold on it. But I'm not going to denigrate this generation because they grew up in an information age. They grew up in the cyber wave era to where not only am I available to talk to you at a moment's notice, I'm available to see you. And we can practice face-to-face if we need to. And these aren't just, you know, high-level, expensive, only the best of the best get. These are, you know, this goes down. Like, the internet is everywhere.
Hold on.
It's all
I got you. I got you. Listen. Magic Johnson and Larry Bird knew each other. They know each other.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you want to pull out one or two, that's fine. That's cool. All of these kids, all of them know each other. Not one or two, all of them know each other. And they all played against each other. And they all probably were coached by some of the same people. So this is so much different than two greats out of an entire 20 or 30 years that actually played together, that knew each other very well. And it's so much different. They know each other from 14 years old, from 13 years old, from 12 years old, before I have the cognizant brain in high school to make a best friend for real, and they are becoming compadres on the court. So, yes, if I've been in the battle with these guys and I know what I've been through for years and now we're in the league together, I want all my friends to play with me. So is it my fault that me and all my friends just so happen to be the best on the planet? Sorry, it's not their fault.
Oh, I understand the talent level that they have, but also, like, using Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas, these guys knew each other from Michigan to Illinois. Like, these scenarios were there, but in a situation back then, they tasted blood. These guys didn't want to match up with each other and be on the same team. They wanted to go against each other to be the best of the best. Like, just like Tom just said, we watched LeBron James change basketball, and I don't call that a king move. Like, with him moving from Cleveland because he was frustrated with things that were going on in Cleveland, went to Miami just to chase a ring. We got to give him credit. He got his two championships down there, but then he moved back to Cleveland because that's where Kevin Love ended up going. I can't even think about it. Kyrie was already there through the draft. I'm trying to think about all of the players that were there when he got there, and then they pulled in more players to try and bring that champion. Well, they ended up getting to the finals and then lost, then they won the next one after that. And then hearing how Kevin Durant did the same exact thing that LeBron did and went to Golden State, and you look at the same thing that Anthony Davis is about to do to try to go to Los Angeles to help LeBron. See, this is the funny stuff, because it's not about LeBron playing with Anthony Davis, because Anthony Davis is way younger than LeBron. Like, these scenarios happen because they have favorites or they feel like it could be an easier way to get to a championship. Think about a lot of the players that are a part of these rosters that had nothing to do with the championship run, but they got a championship ring because they went to the team that had the most talent there on the roster, just for me per se. So, I don't know. This is a great debate back and forth, and I love it. I know that I heard anyone talk about the Knicks trade. There's a lot of trades I want to talk about. We got limited time. So, and it's cooking in the kitchen. It's cooking. I'm trying to support City. I love it. Like, and this is me. Like, I'm at a buffet right now, so I'm loving it. So, I don't know what to do, like, to keep this going or go elsewhere, but I know many wanted to get into the Knicks talk. So, I'm going to feed them. I'm going to feed them because these dudes have been eating. Okay. So, Vinny's situation with his team, the New York Knicks. Finally, I get a Knicks fan in the building. But I feel a certain way about this move because of, you know, the injury that happened to Porzingis. He didn't play off season, and they moved him to Dallas to go down there, to me, to play with Luka Doncic to be a European player. Both of these guys are kind of filling the shoes because this is the last season of Dirk Nowitzki. So as much as they can soak out of Dirk and try to bring that game down and make it very interesting down there in Dallas, but for them to have a young talent in Dennis Smith Jr., out of North Carolina State, for them to just now pick up DeAndre Jordan, the center that they had, they get rid of him and send him out of the city with Wes Matthews, their trigger man, just to bring Tim Hardaway Jr., Courtney Lee, who looks like he's totally pissed off about the move, and Kristaps Porzingis, who's not going to play this season, but will probably be at full strength in this upcoming season, to have both of these guys with a lot of length on the floor, with Porzingis being 7'3", and Kristaps to be a point guard at 6'7". It's very interesting on what Dallas could do next year. But for this season alone, it looks like a total wash for both teams. But Dallas looks even more interesting because they probably will end up getting a higher pick in the draft or an additional ball in the lottery, if you will. But, Vinny, your thoughts on what the Knicks look like now and the future and players potentially trying to go there, if they could possibly get Zion, if they're tanking to get Zion, and to potentially get that pick in the lottery as well. I mean, your thoughts on everything that's going on in the big city.
So my thoughts, a little confused, but at first, because I 7'3", could shoot, block shots, defender, he's 22, 23 years old. Why would you want to trade somebody like that? I know he's injured, but he's going to be coming back. So at first it was a little bit of a confusion, but now thinking about it, a little bit more, having a little bit more time. And again, to what Tom said about the couple of free agents that are possibly coming to the Knicks, I'll go back to what we were just talking about. Yes, they're friends. These guys are all friends. They do talk. They're not dumb. They know what New York is. They know what New York City is. They know what would happen to their brand if they bought a championship back to New York City. They would be through the roof superstars. They would be on another level, on a level that you can't really get to in Golden State. It doesn't matter if you win 3-4 in a row. If you win that one in New York that's been dog poop for the last however since Ewing left, and now you're a big deal. Now you're a global icon, and they know this. So they are probably Kyrie could be talking to Kevin Durant, or there's people who could be talking to, who knows, but I know that the door is open for the Knicks to sign a couple of big time players like Durant and Kyrie. That's a great example, and Vegas has got it at 31%. Vegas is always pretty accurate with a lot of what they say, and maybe draft get a high pick, and maybe it's Zion Williams. We all know what Zion's doing out and do. The guy's a freak show. He's the next big deal. He's bigger, faster than LeBron. He can jump higher. It's crazy. So who knows what the potential is? The Knicks also have in this trade, we talked about earlier that you need first round picks to possibly make more trades to get more players. They got two first round picks from Dallas as well. So they have holding on to a surplus of first round picks, a la what Boston has had in the past couple of years. And look at what Danny Ainge has done with that team, and they've turned themselves around since the big three left, pretty quickly. It's looking like the Knicks are going down that same path, as opposed to holding on to Porzingis and maybe trying to get a player or two around Porzingis. They're going back to couple it up and start from scratch. I personally like it. It's exciting, and I think the Knicks will be players again. I can't believe that they won't be able to land a big time free agent. I know Porzingis posted on social media somewhere that I feel so sorry for the Knicks fans. You guys deserve better than this. Like, he was taking a shot at the organization. And yes, I mean, he's right. The organization has not been run right. Dolan, who knows, he's kind of too much say. And from Isaiah Thomas and his debacle to Phil Jackson, the coach who you want to bring in the front office because he's a big name, and all these bad decisions that were made that really didn't help the Knicks at all, they can be forgotten now. And yes, I know that these guys that did do some good stuff. Jackson drafted Porzingis. That's what he'll be known for. So he did the right thing. But in that instance, and that's going to get the Knicks to where they are now, which is a comfortable place where they could look at potential young players to draft and sign a couple free agents. I like the Knicks in the future. And to talk about what we said in the beginning of the show when I said New York, yeah, I know we're from Connecticut, but there's no Connecticut teams. there's no Connecticut stadium. Anybody who we cheer for back in Connecticut, we drive half hour going to the city to these guys go, to watch New York play. We don't want, when there's nobody in Connecticut. If there was, I would. That would be a different conversation, but I'm happy with
Connecticut is also considered New England. You know that, right?
We're a lot closer to New York.
But I mean, don't jump around. Don't jump around. Connecticut starts off New England. You know that, right?
Top of Connecticut is closer to New England. Where we're from, it's pretty close to New York.
Wait. Okay, I'm going to try this one more time, and I'm going to move from here. Connecticut starts off New England, yes or no?
Connecticut is closer to New England towards the top. Yeah.
Why do you duck me? Why do you duck me? Why do you do that? Like, why? Why? That's funny.
I'm not understanding what you're saying. I'm really not understanding you.
You said that we're New Yorkers because there's no team here, but if we're looking at it like that, then New England would be our team. And yes or no?
New England Patriot? I'm very lost, Ty.
I'm just saying, just in general, you're just saying that New York. Never mind. I'm going to get lost going back and forth with you. Never
mind. I cheer for New York because I drive a half hour to get to New York. If I want to drive to Boston, it's 3 hours. There you go.
Right. Fine. You're a Knicks fan. Okay. So we're going to get away from. Nacho. I don't know if you had anything to add toward the Dallas Knicks trade or try to get to these other trades. Give me a tongue. And I only have 10 minutes left, unless I understand.
Just real quick. The Knicks thing is it's just James Dolan being James Dolan. How much dumber and how much, you know, can you get? It is what it is. They're just going to continue to be the laughing stock of the NBA for years to come. The commodities they got will be, you know, wasted. And we will see this team be the bottom and bottom again. Don't hope for Zion. Phoenix Suns are tanking for Zion, so you can quit worrying about that. You can get that off your mind right now, Playboy. The other thing about
there's
it
lot,
is
there's,
you know,
there's bouncy balls. There's ping pong balls.
I know, but we have 11 wins now. I guarantee by the end of the year we won't have 13. So we're going to have a lot more bouncy balls than you. My thing is just it's going to be one of the funnest trade deadlines here to come. It already has been, but continue to keep going. Ty.
Oh, okay, so the next trade that I have is Tobias Harris going to the Sixers. I don't understand the Clippers. The Clippers letting go of one of their best players, if not their best player. I can't even say one of. He's probably the best player on the team, as well as losing of Bogdanovich. I mean, this guy is a 7'3 monster to basically take up the time when Embiid's off the floor. Embiid is already a load himself. You got another 7'3" coming in there. It's beyond the first five that you got to deal with. They are coming out with a starting five. And Ben Simmons, J.J. Redick, Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, and Joel Embiid, they have a full five. They have a full five. And just let alone before Tobias Harris got there, they just beat Golden State in Golden State last week. They just beat the Warriors in Golden State with Boogie Cousins. So they're a problem out east. I think right now with that move right now, if they could get this to work together, Coach Brown has the team that will win the Eastern Conference. I can care less on how good the Bucks look. I can care less on how the Raptors look right now with Kawhi. They can't win outside of Canada. Show me that y'all can win outside of Canada convincingly, consistently too. In Boston, Boston is that now you see me, now you don't. Like, I think they'll probably play better when the playoffs come around, but right now, I'm not buying what I see right now. I'm not buying it. So right now, as this constructed, I think the Sixers are the better presented team to win the Eastern Conference at this point. I will actually go on record and say, barring injury, and then get this to work, like to buy into what the coach is preaching, they'll win the Eastern Conference. I think the Sixers get there now. This is different now. It's just different. I didn't see it at the beginning of the season. There was no Jimmy Butler. There was no Tobias Harris. Now with them getting two people to fill that roster, and J.J. Redick is basically dealing with one-on-one coverage to pull that three, that's a hell of a problem. That's a hell of a problem coming out of Philadelphia. Talk about Boston being spoiled winning championships. Philadelphia just won a championship last year in the Super Bowl. Whoa, Nelly. Let me throw this one around the grill as well. Vinny, your thoughts on what the Sixers were able to do and get from the Los Angeles Clippers as well.
I like what they've done. I quasi agree with you that they're the favorites, along with Milwaukee too. Milwaukee went into Golden State and put the hammer on Golden State as well earlier this year, and they're doing it tight again.
Before you keep on, that was before Boogie Cousins got there. Boogie Cousins was there, and Philly won that game.
Sure, yeah. I mean, that's true. I think that the Eastern Conference is a lot, not a little bit, a lot better than they were last year. And it's funny because they got a lot better as soon as LeBron leaves. But these young players and these young teams are coming up, and the Sixers are one of them. They are, I'm not going to say the favorites, but I don't know what Vegas' odds are on them winning the East. But I would say now that they are favorites. They would be the favorites to probably come out of the East. Embiid is the best center in the game, in my opinion. He's stayed healthy now, and he's been really doing just phenomenal things. Jokic also, the Joker is another good player, but I think that Embiid is one of the top centers in the league. And Ben Simmons, we all know what he can do. I wish Ben Simmons could shoot. Ben Simmons, if you hear this, if you're going to listen to this podcast for some reason, we share it enough places and it gets to you, just spend all your time working on your jump shot. You will be absolutely, without a doubt, a superstar 10 times fold as where you are right now. I think that if he can't shoot at all. Like, it's crazy. The guy he's a professional basketball player. He's a guard, and he just doesn't know how to shoot. It's like, what's wrong with you? But yeah, Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris is a shooter, along with Embiid, and you got Redick coming. I think Redick's going to be coming off the bench now. I don't think he's starting anymore.
No, Redick will be the starting two guard.
Yeah, okay.
Redick is the two, Butler plays the three, and Tobias plays the small, the power forward.
Okay, yeah, that's a hell of a starting lineup. And I don't know, maybe a little thin on the bench, but very, very potent team. So when Tom said earlier that it's a foregone conclusion that the Warriors are going to win this year, I don't know that that's true. 100%. I don't know if that's true. I think that there's a couple of teams in the East that are pretty scary. If they get hot in the right time, they could dethrone the Warriors, and Philadelphia is definitely one of them.
In the East. And he's shooting the West. There ain't no short-term guarantee that they win the West either. I said this on air with you last week. I will not say that the Warriors win this year. I'm not giving it to them. I feel like there's too many issues on the floor, and the entrance of DeMarcus, he's an attitude himself, and they have to deal with his personality. Draymond has not been himself as well, and I think when Draymond and KD went at it earlier this season, I can see that KD may end up finding his keys to leave the city. So we'll see. I think that there's an uphill battle for them out west. There's no guarantee that they win out west. They split with the Thunder. They split with the Rockets. I mean, there's teams that they got to worry about. The one that they put their hands on physically was the Denver Nuggets. I don't think the Denver Nuggets can handle Golden State, but there are teams that can give them fits and can score right along with them, surprisingly enough. And you mentioned all these centers. Don't forget my boy Steven Adams, the big Kiwi, FTW. Nacho, anything else that you'd like to add to this before we get away from this as well?
Yeah, I think the Sixers, I mean, you guys already said enough. Again, just to reiterate what Vinny just said, man, if Ben Simmons had a jumper, you know, it's Sixers.
Right?
It's Sixers and six, and I'm not talking Eastern Conference. I'm talking the NBA Finals. If Ben Simmons had a jumper, they are unstoppable. Unstoppable. No one can touch him. It's ridiculous. That boy, again, are screaming from the mountaintops, hopefully through the forces of the cosmic entities of the universe. Ben Simmons, you hear us both, me and Vinny. Practice your shot. For the next
shoot
1,000 days every day for however long, 10,000 hours, however long you got to do it, make it happen and be, because you will see the Sixers light it up and defend like nobody's business. But, you know, besides the point, you know, risking an effect, the Warriors to me are still the team to beat. This is what when we talked about LeBron and I think you brought it up, people don't see that he's, falling behind. It's hard to see that because him falling behind is a lot different than anyone else. So the Warriors falling behind to me It just means there's going to be probably a couple six-game series. They're not, sweeping teams. They're not five-gaming teams. It's going to be six, seven-game series. We're going to see this team be pushed to the limit, and I think they overall come out and go to the NBA Finals again. To me, even through this side of the season, it doesn't seem that they have fallen off so far that anyone in the West is going to beat them, including, Mr. Travel Pants, James Harden. I just don't see it. So what I see the most is this team going six games, seven games, and then going to the finals. And whoever they play from the East is going to be the best, and it's going to push them to the brink. I still think they win it all. I'm with Tom. If we're counting, that's two of us that think that the Warriors are the end-all, be-all until I see them taken down.
Okay, well, I'm going with the field. I'm against all of you. So if you all feel like Golden State, you're welcome. We'll see in June. Okay, the last thing I'm going to get to so we can start to close down the kitchen, and this was the breaking news that Nacho had given me. The Rockets, the Kings, and the Cavs are on a three-team trade. The Houston Rockets get Iman Shumpert. The Sacramento Kings get Alec Burks and a second-round pick. And the Cleveland Cavaliers get Brandon Knight, Marquise Chris, and a first-round pick as well. And also, outside of that, the Washington Wizards have dealt Otto Porter to the Chicago Bulls for Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker as well. And it hurts me because I'm a diehard Hoya fan. And Otto Porter is now out of D.C., where he started his career in college and got dealt to the – well, he got picked up by the team – in D.C. as well. He's now in Chicago in that mayhem of a mess with the Chicago Bulls as well. Your thoughts on these moves as we throw this one around the grill as well. Vinny, I'll start with you first and then go to Nacho.
Okay. My thoughts on these moves, that's a lot to digest. I understand that the Rockets got Iman Shumpert, who's a good perimeter defender, and that's gonna help them a lot. I'm not sure. I'm trying to look it up right now, who they gave up. I don't know that it was. So that's it. So they got Iman Shumpert, and I'm sorry, Ty, I'm not seeing it anywhere. So can you please repeat who they got?
The Rockets got Shumpert. The Kings got Alec Burks in a second. The Cavaliers got Brandon Knight, Marquise Chris in a first.
Okay, I mean, that's a bunch of the only person that makes a difference to me there is Shumpert, because he's a good defender. He's a pretty good player. I think that's a step up for a little bit better over there in Houston. I don't know how much better Shumpert is at defending than what they have now with Gerald Green and Clark and those guys, but maybe a little bit better at the guard position. Sure, so that's a good trade for them, yeah. And the Bobby Portis for the Bobby Portis trade, yeah, I saw that come in earlier. I don't know what Washington's doing. I really don't. I don't want to change the subject too much, but what is John Wall doing? He's hurt. He's out for the season. This is 2 months ago, and just yesterday he announced that he's gonna have surgery and be done for 12 months. It's like, where was that when you first got hurt? What's going on? They're just a debacle, the Washington Wizards. I don't know what they're doing or why they would trade Otto Porter, who I think is, sorry, Bradley Beal, but I think Otto Porter's their best player. He's a really good player. I don't know. I think that's an organization that's not going in the right direction for Washington. They need to change it up. And I'm excited to see what Bobby Portis. I think Bobby Portis is a good player if he gets some time. I think he can grow and become an all-star type player. He's got a long way to go, but he can get there. Yeah, that's my take. That's my take on those trades.
Okay, Nacho, anything that you'd like to address from the information that you were giving me, and also the Otto Porter trade to Chicago?
No, nothing really. Vinny kind of hit it mostly on the head. I kind of mostly would reiterate what he said. Don't want to be too redundant. I know that we're short on time.
No, you got time. Go ahead. Get it out.
No, it really would kind of be the same thing in that first one with the Iman Shumpert thing. I think he's the only player that you really look at and go, you know, wow, that could be interesting for Houston. Everything else in that trade just, you know, not mind-boggling. It just kind of scratch your head like, okay, I guess. As it pertains to the Otto one, I didn't hear much about that, and I'm not too keen on that. So I would have to defer to you two on the Otto Porter trade.
Okay, well, I feel like this. Shumpert has actually played well in Sacramento. I don't know what he'll look like going to Houston because these guys play run-and-gun ball, and when they the last time he was in a run-and-gun situation, it didn't work out well for him when he was in Cleveland. I mean, they did get one championship while he was there, but he was the quote-unquote questionable player because he wasn't knocking down shots, but he's actually been knocking down shots as of this season. I want to see if that can continue. Everything else, especially for the Kings and the Cleveland Cavaliers, I feel like they are on that race to see who ends up potentially being the lower team in the league, if you will, to see if they are trying to tank for Zion or whoever may be there, because it can't just be just Zion, but a lot of people are hoping that they can get him. But I don't think that any of the moves that Alec Burks going to Sacramento nor Brandon Knight or Marquise Chris helps the Cavaliers push these guys. So we'll see how far this can actually push these teams. But the situation with Otto Porter, the Bulls are tanking as well. And I agree. I don't know what the Wizards will do with, and it hurts me, Scotty Brooks. If they keep him there because he's done a not too good of a job while he's been down there in D.C. But with them having a guy like Bobby Porter and Jabari Parker to add with Bradley Beal, that has a presence because they still have Jeff Green there as well. But just like Benny threw out there with John Wall, no, actually, yeah, that was Benny, with John Wall's situation of him rupturing his Achilles, he set himself back for another full year, another 12 months. So they have to wait to get their floor general out there on the floor. So this is a work in progress. But depending on if they hang on to the coach, and then they're going to have to try and get, you know, John Wall acclimated, especially with all of the money that is dumped into him over the next 5 years. He's going to be getting close to or over $40 million for the next 4 years. They have to get every penny out of this guy. So it's going to be interesting to see how this works out. Okay, so we are at the end of the show. I did push this a little extra for us. So I need plugs and closeouts from each year. This was an excellent show. We actually had Tom stopping for a little bit and he jetted. I don't know what it was, but that's great. Thank you for stopping by, Tom. If you're still listening, call back in if you need to. Nacho, I'll start with you first. Give me a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you'd like to close up with before we get out of here at the cookout.
Sorry, had it on mute there. Just a quick close out on the John Wall situation. Sorry about that. On the John Wall situation, brother, again, I don't know what's going on with your leg and the delay and all that good stuff. But stay off the Instagrams and the Twitters and trying to clap at Juju Smith-Schuster and say a bunch of wild stuff. Just heal up, get better, and stay off the internet. You're too famous for all that. UFC, DAZN, ESPN Boxing, ESPN everything when it turns to the fighting game now. It's going to be lit for the next couple of months. I can't wait for these brunches coming up to talk about all these Saturday night fights we got coming up, all the names from past and present, and guys, you know, trying to make a name or preserve a name. It's going to be amazing to see these fights. I can't wait. I'm ready to talk about that. Again, the draft, everything of that nature going in. See if this Alliance football is any good. I believe it is the Dallas, whatever team it is in Dallas, Bob Stoops is reportedly supposed to be the GM / coach of that Dallas team. If that is to happen, that's a big name. We can see some maybe other big name coaches head over there. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. Everything's going on, and we might have an off-season football to watch. That might be fun to watch. That's not, you know, played in arenas. Other than that, man, great show. Everybody, Vinny, Tom,
And Ty, thank you so much for letting me come on and say what I want to say. It is what it is. Knocked on the Box, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Let's have a good night. Have a good rest of the week, and I'll talk to you guys at brunch.
All right, thank you, Nacho. All right, Vinny, you know what to do. Shut it down here at the cookout. Vinny, are you still there? Do we still have you, Vinny?
I'm sorry, I was on mute.
Okay.
I was on mute. I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right, yeah. Sorry about that. Great show. Tom, if you're still listening, come on again. I think that you're very insightful and have some good points there. I like what you said about my Knicks. And, yeah, NBA is in full swing. It's exciting. All the trades are happening. We got till tomorrow, 3 o'clock. We'll see who goes where. I know that there's definitely going to be some more moves happening, and it's fun. It's entertaining. It's our keeping up with the Kardashians, keeping up with these athletes and what they do. Great show. Great being on. Thank you, Ty. Stay warm. I mean, stay warm out there, right? You guys are getting some cold weather, I heard. Oh, actually, I heard it was warming up a little bit. But, yeah, stay warm out there. Thanks for having me on, and we'll talk again soon.
Definitely. No negativity, man. It's been in the 50s and 60s in February, man. I know we're going to end up getting a cold. Somebody's going to end up getting sick because this weather just went from 9 degrees last week to 60 in a matter of days. Like Trump,
wow.
You're up to something. Like, there's no way that this weather increases 40 to 50 degrees and then you know you're going to drop it again in a week. Like, this doesn't just happen. Like, this doesn't just happen. I know you're up to something. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs with chefs. Stay tuned to all of the networks that we have, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter as well. But just stay tuned to all of the guys that you see here, whether it's Nacho, Vinny, myself. We even have Roger back in the building. And, oh, yes, we have Mark Mosley working his way back trying to set up at least 2 shows or so in the kitchen. So we got a lot of stuff coming back in the Sports City. Y'all stay focused, man. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
For their purchase, we surely appreciate it. But you about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this? Vibe with.